Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Background Noise. I'm your host, Sarah Bannon. I'm trying something a little different today with headphones. I don't normally use headphones when I record. I'm not sure how it will affect the quality of the audio, but we'll find out. I don't know about you guys, but it has been one hell of a week for me. I know that there's a lot going on in the world that's troubling a lot of us, and I just wanted to reach out and let everybody know that I stand with you and we will get through this one way or another. Now, the last case I covered was pretty gruesome. This one will be no different. It is also gruesome. I wanted to put a trigger warning. It involves murder, blood, gunshot wounds, and there is a child involved. However, the child is okay, perfectly okay, aside from being traumatized, I'm sure. I have a couple very exciting episodes coming up. You can look forward to that. I know most of my listeners currently are native to Kansas, as am I, and I will be putting out some episodes on some Kansas ghost stories and also covering some Kansas myths and mysteries as well. So you'll have that to look forward to sometime. At the end of this week, the beginning of next week, we are going into the holiday, so I'm not sure what exactly I will get done, but I will have at least one more episode for you this week. So our case brings us to Bradford, Ohio today. This case is titled The Green Monster, and we'll just get right into it, okay? So in March 2003 in Bradford, Ohio, 4-year-old Johnny Huffman runs to school over a little over a mile away from his house in PJs and boots to tell his teachers that something horrible has happened. Johnny is covered in blood, and the teachers are absolutely horrified by what Johnny tells them. He describes the scene in which his great-grandparents, who had custody of him, are found dead in their bed. The police are called, and Johnny tells the police there was a green monster in his bedroom that night. Heartbreakingly enough, Johnny had also told the police that he had tried to clean his grandparents with a Kleenex, but there was too much blood and he couldn't do it. That absolutely shattered my heart when I read it. Kids are so pure. They're so pure, and it just, that this little boy had to go through this, it's absolutely heartbreaking. Linda and Jack Myers were murdered in March 2003. They were shot at point-blank range with a 12-gauge shotgun in their bed as they slept. The police immediately get to work investigating, and they find a makeshift silencer left behind made from quilting material and masking tape. Police also find shoe prints at the scene of the crime, the basement window broken. They first think it's a robbery, but upon further investigation, no money was missing and nothing had been tampered with. There was even a deposit bag on the kitchen table with money that was not disturbed. They determine the time of death between 4 and 6 a.m. Speaking with neighbors, one neighbor in particular had left for work at 4:30 a.m. and she said she noticed a minivan in the Myers driveway that did not belong to one of them. Due to the bodily trauma, forensic scientists were able to determine that Jack was shot first, making him the primary target, they believe, because Linda had defensive wounds on both of her hands. Police assume that she woke up after Jack was shot and raised her hands in attempt to defend herself. Jack and Linda had been married for 7 years. Together, they owned a pizza shop. Linda's daughter also said that Jack had been her mom's soulmate. They had a great relationship, and each of them both had kids from different marriages. Jack also had a side business of selling used cars on payments. He would also repossess cars when payments were not made. Police had also noted that they had recently evicted... that Jack had recently evicted tenants from one of his rental properties. They were taking this into consideration when searching for people that might have it out for Jack. They searched for suspects and they asked the family if anybody had a problem with Jack or Linda and asked if anybody would want to hurt them. Linda's daughter came forward and said yes. Johnny's biological dad, Andrew Huffman, and Linda did not get along because Linda did not allow Andrew to come around Johnny. Andrew Huffman had also previously threatened to kill her. Upon investigation, police found that at the time Huffman was at his residence in Kentucky and eliminated him as a suspect immediately. The next suspect they looked at was Greg Myers, Jack Myers' 25-year-old son. He suffered from drug and alcohol disease and had asked Jack for money because he was getting drunk and doing drugs, skipping work, and he was about to lose his house. So instead of granting Jack the money, basically Jack just told Greg to do better, stop drinking, and just go to work so he could keep his house. So money is always a pretty big motive for murders. The police made Greg their number one suspect. They were almost positive that this man had everything to do with it. They got a warrant to search Greg's house, but they couldn't find anything at Greg's house to tie Greg to the murder. Greg wore shoes two sizes bigger than the prints found at the crime scene. And with no other viable suspects, police began searching all the traffic routes between Greg's job and Mr. and Mrs. Myers' house. Because Greg's time card, the police knew that he had clocked in at about 5:23 a.m., which would give him time to complete a murder between the hours of 4 a.m. and 6 a.m., the thought to be time of death. So they searched every route possible, top to bottom, and found nothing. A deputy then suggested to search a bridge nearby over a river called Stillwater. After concluding the search, they found a 12-gauge pump-action shotgun with a serial number scratched off. Masking tape matching the homemade silencer was found around the barrel of the shotgun. These items were found only 9 miles away from the crime scene. Further down the river, caught in some brush, they also found a black trash bag. Inside the trash bag was 2 latex gloves, 2 spent 12-gauge shotgun shells, green overalls, and a pair of tennis shoes. None of this evidence linked Greg directly to the murders until they took the 12-gauge to a forensic scientist, Timothy Dorr, who was able to recover the serial numbers with like this acid restoration process. Apparently, the serial numbers are stamped very deeply into the metal, and when you scratch it off, you only scratch off the surface layer. So through this acid restoration acid restoration process, that's actually a mouthful, try it. He was able to identify 5 out of the 8 digits. However, there was no shotgun registered to Greg that matched the numbers. The police were positive that Greg had something to do with this, so they kept digging deeper. They subpoenaed Greg's phone records. They found 2 numbers in his outgoing call list that belonged to people who advertised shotguns in the classifieds recently. They reached out to a man named Adams. Adams confirmed a man identified as Greg Myers purchased a 12-gauge shotgun the week the murders occurred. Police also gave Adams the serial number, and Adam was able to match the serial numbers to the serial numbers registered to the shotgun that he sold Greg that same week. Along with recovering the serial numbers, police were able to get a partial fingerprint from the inside of the latex gloves found in the river. They used UV light technology to find this fingerprint. This high-quality partial print was a direct match to Greg Myers. Police also checked around several gun stores in the area and found hardcore surveillance footage showing Greg, not just Greg, Greg and his 2 children at the store buying federal brand ammo, the same brand of ammo used to massacre Linda and Jack Myers in their sleep. With all this newfound evidence linking Greg directly to the murders, he was arrested for 2 counts of aggravated murder. He had staged everything to look like a break-in gone wrong, leaving the footprints on purpose. He also went upstairs to check on Johnny, who remembered him as the Green Monster, wearing the green overalls, and that's where you get the title of this case. So this man, 25-year-old Greg Myers, shot and killed, murdered, massacred, in cold blood, 2 defenseless grandparents in their bed. His father and his stepmother, murdered both of them for inheritance money. It was later found out that in the will, he would be left their Ohio farmhouse. He needed the money. He didn't want to work. And so somehow in his mind, this was his solution. Absolutely sickening. I genuinely don't know how people come to this conclusion. I have no idea what would go on in somebody's mind for them to think, like, maybe if I just murder my family members, everything will work out for me. Like, no, Greg. Don't be like Greg. Okay? Just don't be like Greg. Greg's trial was April in 2004. He was sentenced to 2 life sentences with no possibility of parole. And he also got a 5-year sentence for an aggravated robbery charge. He still remains incarcerated at Marion Correctional Institution in Ohio. I did find a lot of information for this on Forensics Files and also on a website called Case Note. Let me just double check that real quick. Let me look at my notes. Sorry, casetext.com. There is a lot of really, really, really good court information if you're into like looking through court records and, you know, if you're a fellow researcher, podcaster yourself, there's a lot of really good information on that website. I definitely highly recommend using it if you haven't heard of it already. Again, it's casetext.com. You get a lot of like court records and information that you might not be able to find everywhere else. But anyway, that was our super quick story today. Like I said, look forward to less morbid and a little bit more spooky, macabre stuff to come. Really excited to get started on the Kansas-specific episodes. I think all my listeners are really going to enjoy that. Even if you are out of state, you know, everybody says Kansas is flat, there's nothing here. But I assure you, there is quite a bit to explore, especially in my little area of Kansas. So I hope you keep listening and I hope you enjoyed. And remember, if you need a little background noise, you can always count on me, your background bestie. Brush your teeth, shave your armpits.